Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here with Pastor Adam.
Hey, glad to be here.
Me too. So we are on episode 166, and this is the last in our bullying series.
Can't believe it. Yep. And we've had a couple of weeks where we've been off, where we had some scheduling issues on one. And then recently, I had an episode that I recorded when we were in the Dominican that when we got back, the recording failed. So we had a couple off weeks. So this series has actually taken us longer than we normally would because it's only a four-week series. But it's taken us a little longer to do when we're talking through bullying. So if you missed these, you can go back and take a look. We're kind of looking what it means to be genuinely kind and caring to other people in our midst, but also navigating situations in which people are not caring and not kind, not necessarily just to us, but to others. And so to understand bullying, we've sort of went at it from the angle of the characters, the main characters in any bullying situation. And so the four players or characters in all bullying situations are the outsider, which we covered in week one, the bully, that's week two, and then the victim, of course, of the bullying, that was last episode. And then today we're going to hit the final character for this and wrap up this series, and that is the bystander. Today we're going to cover the bystander. Everybody may not have experienced the other three characters or categories in bullying personally, right? You may not have ever been a bully yourself. I think we all have, I mean, you talked about this on the bullying, we've all done some bullying activities.
Absolutely.
But some of us have never been an actual bully. And then there's some of us who've never really been victimized fully by bullying. We've experienced some bullying before, but maybe wouldn't characterize ourselves as a victim of active bullying. And then also, some of us have never been the outsider, right? If you're listening to this message and you are a, and I don't want you to get offended, but if you're a middle-class white person in America, you're already typically not set up to be the outsider, if that makes any sense, right?
Yeah.
You know, if you grew up with moderate, income levels of your parents, in an American situation and you are the predominant culture and just a white American person, like that would be me. My parents weren't loaded. They didn't have a lot of money by no means. My dad was a factory worker, but we were middle class. And I'm a white guy, a male in the South, right? So I don't normally fall into a category that would be, an outsider. So a lot of people, you may not have experienced these three categories that we've talked about so far. You may never been a bully. You may have never been victimized by this, and you may have never been a true outsider just based on you got lucky, you got blessed in where you grew up and the fact that you spoke the same language and you looked like the people around you and all those kind of things, right? But this fourth category of the bystander, everybody has been a bystander at some point in time. Everybody has been in this fourth category. And I think it's important to look at this when we talk about bullying. Often we talk about the bully and we talk about the victim. But I think it's important to go a little bit deeper and talk about the people who are standing around watching this stuff happen, right? And that's what we mean when we say the bystander. The bystander is somebody who is around an incident and sees something happening, but it's not really a part of it in any way, right? So it's almost like you are witnessing what is going on, but you are not involved in it. You're just a innocent bystander is usually the word. I don't like the word innocent because when we bystand too long, we're just as culpable, right?
Yeah.
Just as guilty as the people if we don't do anything about it, right? So that's what we want to talk about with regard to bystander. We're going to look at one of the most famous bystanders in all of Scripture, and it'll show us how he responded when he saw an entire nation, the nation of Israel, being literally bullied. This is in your Scripture. And so David and Goliath is an extremely famous story in Scripture. The vast majority of people, even if they're biblically, illiterate, even if they're people who don't know the Bible or whatever, and unbelievers, everybody knows the story of David and Goliath. And it gets repeated a lot in culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
We refer to the giant that has to be slain in Goliath, and we refer to the underdog character of David all the time. And if you don't know it, the David and Goliath story, it starts with bullying. It starts with mocking God's chosen people, Israel, and it ends with a bystander, that would be David, stepping in and doing something about the situation. That's the story. So if you want to know, really want to look deep down in, the story of David and Goliath is a story of bullying and of a bystander who chooses not to sit around and let this happen to people. That's really the gist of that story. I think it's pretty cool. And so here's what Goliath says to Israel. This is just a piece. Steph and I were talking about it. We could read the entirety of chapter 17 if we wanted to, and we could pick out lots of ways that this is happening, but we just picked a couple. Steph, read what Goliath is saying to Israel in this one little section. What is the section?
1 Samuel 17, verses 8 through 11.
Yeah.
Okay. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified.
Yeah, so the text actually says, if you read through this, you'll see that it says that Goliath did this for like 40 days straight. He mocks them repeatedly, bullying them, mocking is bullying, mm-hmm. bullying them by calling them weak, that they can't do this. He's eliciting them to fight, right? And he's making fun of them repeatedly in the scripture, and he does it for 40 days. How weak they are, you know, I'm big and strong, you're weak. And he's doing it constantly over and over and over again. And I think if we just pause for a minute and think about our lives, I bet that we all could identify some Goliaths in our life. Think about the people who pick on or mock other people, right? Think of those who push people around, who start rumors about people, who have a general mean-spirited attitude towards other people. Those would be like Goliaths. They are bullying through their words. They're inciting these things. They're just kind of naturally mean and antagonistic. It's like an antagonizing thing that's happening all over the time. And these are typically people, these Goliaths are typically people who have some power. Either they're physically stronger, physically bigger. So you see a lot of men act like this towards weaker, I don't mean that, physically weaker is what I meant to say. Smaller, right? Diminutive women or children or other men, right? That they're just physically bigger than. Or they're people that have some sort of influence or authority over others, and they use that physical size or that influence over people to tear other people down, right? Like there's some wonderful police officers in this world, and then there's some people who like to use their power of authority to be a Goliath and hold people down, right? To mess with folks. There are people in boss situations and pastoral leadership situations who are wonderful, and then there's some who are egotistical and they like to use that position of power and influence to mock, bully, tear other people down. You know, that's just part of seeing the Goliaths that are in our lives, right? There's lots of people who use these things as an abuse of power, unfortunately. We also probably, though, could think of some Israels in our life, too, right? So we've got the Goliaths, the bullies. We could also think of some Israels. Like those are the people who are always getting picked on. So like in this scripture, you get three main characters here right off the bat. You've got the bully in Goliath. You've got the victim in the people of Israel. And then you will have, in just a minute, you'll see the bystander in David. And so we can think of some Israels in our life. Like think of the people who are always getting picked on. They're always the butt of jokes. They're the last person picked. They're always being laughed at. You know, I can think of all kinds of people in my social construct of where I live. And I can tell you that people with developmental disabilities end up in this category a lot, right? They're picked on, they're mocked, they're made fun of, they're ignored. People that don't speak the same language as the common community, people that are poor, right? I mean, think about it. When you were a kid, if you weren't wearing the right kind of shoes, You know what I mean, Seth? The yeah. right kind of clothes. Kids were vicious, right?
Yeah.
I mean vicious.
They were.
I remember, you know, luckily I had parents that provided well for me and allowed me to get those things. But I remember one year, my mom and dad, I don't know what the reason was. I don't know if it was financial or if it was just an accident or whatever, but there's one reason. One year, I think I was in the third or fourth grade, and my mom bought me these shoes that were not name brand shoes. And we called them shoes Bobos back when I was a kid. If you wore a non-name brand shoe, it was called a Bobo. You ever heard that?
No.
That's too old for you.
You're a little bit older than me.
We call them Bobos. And I wore my Bobos to school the first day, uh-huh. really nervous about getting picked on. And this one boy who always picked on kids that had less than, and that was never me until this moment, man, he come after me so hardcore than Bobos. So the next day, I snuck my baseball cleats to school and changed into my baseball cleats because they were name brand instead of my Bobo shoes. And walked around in baseball cleats because they had a check on them, you know, a Nike check on them instead of the non-name brand ones because the kids would make fun of them. I remember my mama finding out about that, and she was so mad at me. She was like, you're wearing one pair of shoes at school, and you're changing into baseball cleats at school.
Yeah.
She was so mad at me. It didn't work out. But it was hard to explain to her how kids would pick on you about not having the right shoes. You know what I mean? So yeah. We can all think of some Israels in our life that people who are always getting picked on or the butt of the jokes, and people that have less than typically are these. That's what we talked about in the first week, the outsider.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who's different. We can think of lots of Israels in our lives of people who get picked on. So what happens in the story is one day David overhears this bullying. He overhears this mocking. Remember, it's like this 40 days worth of mocking. And he basically asks, is anybody going to do anything about this? And the people basically say, no, not really. What can we do? And we get David's reply back. Steph, read 1 Samuel 17 again, same chapter, uh-huh. verse 26 and then verse 32. You get to see what he says back to this.
Okay, so this is verse 26. David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And then verse 32 says, David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him.
Yeah, so this is going to give us our first action point of the bystander, because you see David moving. He's obviously a bystander in this. He's witnessing it. Mm-hmm. He's sort of a nobody in the situation. And then all of a sudden you see this first point I want to make, that the bystander must see bullying as an offense to God, as an offense against God, not just some bad thing that's happening. Because if it's just a bad thing that's happening, you can go, not my business, and ignore it. But if you see bullying as an offense to God, not just an offense to a person, but as an offense to God, it changes everything. And so David begins to get upset because people are picking on the nation of Israel. But more importantly, he starts to get upset that nobody's doing anything about this. That's what he's saying in that scripture there. And if you read further, you'll see it even more. He's upset that they're being picked on, but he's also going, why isn't anybody doing anything about this? What's really fascinating is that David is more concerned with the reputation and the identity of his people than just simply wanting to win a battle. Like, it's not about him winning some battle that's fought. He's really concerned that these people and the people of God and God himself, that the reputations are being messed with. And so he basically is saying to them, you can't talk to God's people like that. And that is we'll see as we go forward, that is like the best response to bullying any of us could have all the time, right? Is to see that bullying is an offense to God, not just to the person, and to be able to stand up and go, no, not on my watch, right? You can't talk to God's people like that. And the fact that David adds that very first verse, the reason I had you read it, is because he ends that, verse 26, he ends it with the living God. Because mm-hmm. that's a good indicator of where David's heart is. He refers to the living God. David knows that these people belong to God, that they are God's people. He sees them bigger than just a fellow human that makes it easier to ignore, right? It's really hard to ignore and not do something and continue to be a bystander if you see the fact that those people or that person, whoever it is being bullied, is God's child, right? Mm-hmm. And that the living God is active and cares greatly about his children, right? We talked about this the very first week of the series, is that you have never met someone who God is okay with you bullying, right? That he loves every single person. We are the masterpiece of his creation. And so what you see inside of his heart when he says living God is that he knows that these people belong to God, and he knows that what Goliath is doing is hurting the reputation of not just these people, but the reputation of God. In other words, David sees the bully's attacks against God, and he's not going to stand for it, right? It's not just a person's being messed with. It is God himself is being messed with, because somebody is screwing around with his children. Somebody's mm-hmm. mocking his kids. And David, who's this bystander, decides, you know what? I'm not going to stand up for it. And what causes that to happen is the fact that he sees it as an offense against God. You and I will continue to be bystanders in situations where people are being oppressed and hurt and bullied if we don't see them as children of God, right? The minute we start to see them as, like Jesus would say, more important than us, then the more likely we are to step in and actually do something against the bullying or injustice that would happen, right? David sees that these attacks are against God himself, and he's not going to stand for it. When we see someone being bullied, do we realize that that person is hurting one of God's precious creations? Hmm. Or have we gotten our hearts so hard, or are we so disconnected from the people around us that we fail to see individual people, people that are different than us, people that are outcast, the outsiders? Do we fail to see that they are individually God's creation and should be stood up for, right? That somebody's got to stand up for them. And if you've never been, if you grew up kind of like me and you never were part of the outsider culture because you are middle-class American, male, white, right? Then there's a responsibility on us to actually stand up for those that are outsiders, because we've never even experienced it, right? That's never going to happen unless we see people as God's own creation and masterpiece. Do we see how much it breaks the heart of God that one of his children is being hurt or devalued, right? See, as Christians, I think we miss this a lot in our current culture. As Christians, we are not called to agree with everybody or anything like that. That's not the case, right? But a Christian is called to value another person, whether that person is a Christian or not. No matter what their belief system is, no matter what, we are called as Christians to give utmost value to that other person, whether we agree with what they're doing or not, right? Mm-hmm. We're required by Jesus Christ to give dignity to the human and the human condition. And when we walk in that, we're much less likely to let bullying happen right under our noses without doing something about it, right? Without standing up for it. When we see the mistreatment of others as it being against God, it should cause us to act in some sort of way, right? To do something, right? You may not know exactly what to do, but it should cause us to do something, which is exactly what David does in this little thing, because we cannot let victims stand alone and be hurt. By us just letting them be hurt and ignoring it, we are a part of it happening, right? You said this earlier. We're guilty. Mm-hmm. We're culpable when we let somebody just sit around and, you know, and this happens in all kinds of ways. We'll get to it towards the end. But so point number two, the bystanders got to first off see that these things are actually offensive against God, not just against that person. And then number two, you've got to not let the victim stand alone, right? Not let them be by themselves. Somebody's got to stand up with them. We all know the story of how this goes, that David says, somebody's got to do something. It might as well be me. And here we have this guy who is very small and short compared to this giant Goliath, never has a chance, but decides to do something. And I think because he decides to do something, that's one of the big reasons that God is on his side, right? So he decides to stand up for the vulnerable, and God says, I got you back, right? And mm-hmm. so now this little bitty short dude who rolls in, who has no chance to get this giant, amazing warrior, you know, ends up taking him out with a daggone slingshot, right? Because he has stood up for something that matters to the heart of God, and God has his back. And so we all know the story that the Goliath gets taken out by this little bitty guy with a slingshot, right? It's pretty amazing. He slays the giant is mm-hmm. the biblical term to it. And that's a big deal. And so the principle is that David would not let someone push around people God loves, even if he went down swinging. Because there was you got to remember, in David's heart, in the people's heart around him, they probably thought David was going to get crushed by this bully too.
For sure.
Right? I mean, right? It's like, okay, well, we appreciate the sentiment, David, but, you know, thanks for standing up for us and everything. But
love you, David. Yeah. Talk to you later.
Appreciate it.
In heaven.
You about to get stomped, right? I mean, everybody sort of thought that, but there's this sort of walking in the power of God because he's searching after the heart of God. And if you look at, you know, and what's awesome about scriptures, if you look at David, I mean, David's got all kinds of stuff. He's got this moment, he becomes king, he falls hard, right? He has this jacked up, messy sinfulness where he's cheating on his best friend's, you know, with his best friend's wife, and then has his friend killed, and I mean, all this cover-up stuff.
Real messy.
He goes into war with his sons. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that goes down. But if you look at the synopsis of the scripture, you'll see that what David is known for is not any of this. He's known for a man after God's own heart. That's the phrasing. And I think that's you see that in a little bit in this, is he's after the heart of God. He knows that God cares about people, and so he's willing to stand up in this moment. And you see God kind of being on his side, helping that happen. I'm not saying that's going to happen to you if you go fighting a giant, gigantic warrior bully. I'm just saying there's something supernatural, too, that comes along when we stand in and go, you know what? These people are God's creation. And I'm going to fight for them.
That's
I'm
going
to stand up for them, right? And God has our back in that. And so David's not going to let somebody push around the people of God. And so that means that for you and I, you can't just be a bystander. The bystander has to actually act. All the power in this whole bullying situation, all the power is in the hands of the bystander. You think that it's in the hands of the bully, but it's not. We know that all that is insecurity. They were probably bullied before too, right? You might think that the hands of the power is in the victim themselves, that all they got to do is stand up for themselves. Don't think that's the case either. The real power is in the hands of the bystander. If bystanders decide to step up and go, we ain't taking this. These people, and like, you know, pushing that person behind you so you can step in front of it, you're not going to mess with these people, right? If the bystanders did that, the whole bullying game crumbles, right?
Truly.
If the bystanders in our culture decided, I'm going to stop keeping my mouth shut when these people are treated like crap, I'm going to see them like God sees them, then all of a sudden the bully loses all power. And that's what happens in this scripture with David. So we have to act. We cannot be bystanders who sit around with our mouth shut while people are being bullied, because they are children of God. They are people of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we see them as people of God, the more we're likely to act. And if we actually act, you could stomp out bullying.
Yeah.
Bystanders could stomp out bullying. The reason bullying continues is because people who are uninvolved in it won't stand up and fight for the people who are being mistreated. Because there's way more of us who are bystanders not doing anything that could stand up than there are bullies.
Yeah.
And together, we could do a whole lot, right?
So how can we act?
Yeah, so we got to act. So I'll give you a whole list. We must help the victim physically get out of the dangerous situation, right? Physically help them out of that situation.
Mm-hmm.
If you're around somebody who's being physically abused in that moment, help them get out of that situation, whatever that looks like. We must defend their honor when they're being verbally bullied. So when somebody's being verbally assaulted, we got to step up and go, you're not going to talk to them like that, right? And be able to reaffirm them with better words. We should go with them to tell a person in authority, right? So don't just tell them, hey, you should report this. Go with them to report it.
Yeah, they'll most likely do it then. so, as well.
So, you know, there are the amount of women in our culture who are sexually assaulted is astronomical. And the amount of those things that get reported is extremely low, right?
Yeah.
But if somebody will go with the person, they're much more likely to report it and get help, which then helps to cull that person, the person that harmed them, to harm somebody else, right? So we don't just tell them, hey, you should report this. We go with them to report it to somebody in authority. So that's police, that's a boss, that is a teacher, right? That's also a church leader, right? Go with them to report these things to somebody in authority who can help them to correct the problem, you know, to make sure that the right authorities are involved. But don't just tell them to, actually help them do it.
Yeah.
We should care for them after the incident is over and encourage them. So once it's over with, we need to make sure we check in and care for them when we've witnessed them being bullying, when we've stepped in to help, and also encourage them later, right? Because there's a lot of trauma from bullying that happens way after the fact. You may get safe out of the moment, but then all these little things start to bring it up later on, right? And so we want to make sure that we're there for them long term too. That helps to keep them from being victimized again in the same kind of situation with somebody completely different, right? Mm-hmm. We should pray for them, of course, right? And we should pray with them, not just for them, but with them. We did a series not long ago where we talked about this. I can't remember what the series was, but the idea was, is don't just pray for somebody, pray with them also. There's a lot of power in that. We should shut down gossip about them, right?
Yeah.
This is a big deal. If bystander people would do this, it would change the game. If we would be like, hey, you know what? I don't want to be a part of that conversation. You know, think about how different the workplace would be if somebody was like, you know what? That's, you know, I hear what you're saying, and I understand that you're frustrated, but that's gossip because this person is not here to talk about it, and I'm not going to participate in gossip.
Yeah.
That changes the game. So we shut down the gossip. We talk about the person kindly. So instead of talking about them like they're weak, even if we stepped in to help them, and then we talk about them like they're weak or whatever, no, that doesn't help the problem either. We want to make sure we're talking about them kindly, right? Mm-hmm. Don't just kill gossip, but replace it with kind talk. We want to encourage others to stand up for them as well, right? This is part of not you just being the only one to stand up for something, but then you help other people stand up for it too. It makes me think of your, you remember when you were doing, you probably, maybe you still do it, the part to help fight sex trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
And you got involved in a couple organizations where you did walks and wear this, don't wear this, these type of stand up things.
Yes.
That was somebody saying, I see the humanity in these people. They are people of God. I'm going to do something about it. And then them bringing somebody like you and whoever else along to do something about it too.
Yeah.
Right. We want to make sure we bring somebody along with us. We have to step in and help people who are being hurt no matter what. And then we should be wise and careful with how we act, but doing nothing is not an option. So in other words, do something, right? Do something. You may feel unsafe in the moment, but you call the police. You know, you may not know what to do at this very moment or may think that I don't know if what I'm doing matters, but you're going to make sure you do something. The worst thing you can do is absolutely nothing because that just lets the bullying cycle continue. So you want to be able to do something. Standing up for people, it's not easy to do, right? This is hard. It puts you out on a limb, right? Mm-hmm. It's awkward. It can be scary. It can be embarrassing. And you never quite know how it's going to go, right? I mean, if you step up in the moment of somebody being physically attacked, you might get physically attacked. You might not. It might kind of absolve the situation, but you might. You never know how this thing is going to actually play out, right? You never know how it's going to go. That's why it's so important to rely on God in these circumstances. I mean, David obviously had no idea how this thing was really going to go, and neither did the people of God. But obviously he felt like he was acting on God's principles with God's backing. And so I think it's hard to do something, but that's why you need to know that you're acting on God's behalf and that you are relying on him. And he's like, God, I need your help in this moment. I don't know what to do, so I'm going to try something. And you ask God to help you with the right words and the right actions and trust that he's going to He's going to, you know, light that path up for you and help resolve these things in a bigger way than we could ever know. And all it really takes is for us to do something, right? That's the whole point.
Yeah.
And so here's another thing that I don't think we talk about enough with bullying with regard to the bystander is that standing up for others is an incredible witness for Jesus and his kingdom, right? Standing up for others is an incredible way to have other people pay attention to the fact that they want what you have. For them to be able to be like, hold up, something's different with that person, right? It is an incredible witness to the life change that Jesus has done in you and the light that he wants to shine in somebody else's life too, right? If you want to share the gospel, one of the greatest ways you can share the gospel is to stand up for somebody who is a victim because it's an incredible witness. What happens because of David's actions is remarkable. Not only do the Philistines turn and run, but word spreads greatly all across the country of David's actions, which then allows them to point to their God, right? And the same thing happens with us because it's so uncommon for bystanders to actually stand up to bullies. When you do, your actions are not unnoticed. They are very noticed, right? You know, it's so common for people to just stand around and do nothing when something's happening that when somebody actually steps forward, people pay a lot of attention to that, especially that what they want to know is this person stood up and did something that was different than all the rest of these people. Why did they do that? What is it that they believe so strongly that they would be willing to step up and protect me or to help me or to care for me? They want to know what is in your heart that would cause you to do something and gives you the perfect opportunity to share, well, his name is Jesus, and he did this for me, and he compels me to see you as a human being made in God's image, and you deserve to be fought for. You know, I mean, it changes everything. And so people are much more open to the witness of the gospel by your actions of actually caring for them. It's an instant platform. You standing up for somebody else in a bullying situation and not just being the, well, not my problem, folks. You actually standing up is an instant platform to you to share why you care for others and a great opportunity to share the love of Jesus with your friends, with the people paying attention, the victims, even the bullies,
mm-hmm.
right? Even a good time to witness to the bullies, hey, there's a better way to live and God loves you too, even though you're going to stop doing this. You know, we're called to care for God's people and to love them. We are called to stand with those who are marginalized, those who are victims, those who are on the outside and are prone to being victimized. Christians, I think, in America have forgotten this some, right? Like, it seems to be we've forgotten a little bit that we're supposed to be the voice for those that don't have a voice.
Yes.
We're supposed to be the one that stands up for those that are marginalized and on the outside and are sort of shunned or pushed to the edges from our culture. And we get that from Jesus, right? That's a big part of being a Christ follower is because, you know, we're supposed to be becoming, we're looking more and more like Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the more we look like Jesus, the more we stand up for the marginalized in our community. The less we look like Jesus, the more we're the bystander standing there doing nothing, right? And that if you pay attention to Jesus's admonition to the Pharisees, he is constantly admonishing them because they stand back and do nothing talking a bunch of holy talk, but they don't walk it out. And then the people that he is so prone to saying, attaboy, good job, keep going, are those that are willing to step out of their comfort zone and be like the only one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's action involved in it. And all of a sudden, that person is highlighted. You know, the woman at the well, the great story about the woman at the well is, you'll miss this if you don't read it carefully. It's the most profound part. It's not that he shows up there with somebody that he should never been talking to, has had all these problems, right, and sees her. That's amazing. He sees her for who she is. He loves her regardless. He goes there on purpose to find her. But if you'll notice, the minute that conversation happens, she goes back to the town. And these people that hate her, she witnesses to those people, and they all come flocking to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
her story is included in all the Gospels and is being read thousands of years later, right? Because she decided to do something, to act on it, even though she was this marginalized person, decided to do something, and Jesus commends her for it. But the ones that he admonishes are the people who typically are religious, and they stand around like bystanders doing nothing when the people of God, when people created in God's image, are treated like crap. You know, so we're required to love the marginalized, and not just from afar, like get our hands dirty.
Yeah.
Stand up for those people, right? If that happens, if we do something different with the bystander part, if the bystanders become actors in this thing, that's how bullying really gets eliminated. Because there's way too many people standing around that if we join together, we could eliminate the bullying in whatever way it is, right? Mm-hmm. Like the amount of people that turn their heads in sex trafficking situations is insane,
yeah.
Right? The amount of people who turn their heads when there's some violence in a subway or wherever else, you should read some of the studies on this. It's crazy. The amount of people who choose to do nothing when something happens is crazy. If people actually acted, these things wouldn't happen like they happen.
Yeah, but if it was like multiple people there, they could all just gather and like Absolutely. Do something.
Absolutely. And I really do think it takes one person typically.
Yeah.
If one person goes first. So like if you're listening to this podcast and you've made it through this long episode and these last several when we've been talking through this topic, but if you made it to this point, it only takes one person to start a movement. It mm-hmm. also gives other people courage to do something. If you decide, you know what, we're all standing around watching this person being mistreated at work, I'm going to say something about it. Then all of a sudden, yes, you're out on a limb, but you give courage to the other people to step up and go, hey, yeah, that's right. You know, then they may not have done it otherwise. And if we all do that, you can change the game. The power to end bullying is really in the hands of the bystander group.
Yeah.
The bystander group steps up. You know, you take a schoolyard bully situation. You've ever seen this on TV or, you know, like after school special show or whatever. It happens on the Disney channels all the time, all these little shows. And my kids watch them all the time. Right now they're obsessed with Bluey, and Madeline watches this other one constantly. I'm trying to think of the name of it, but regardless, it drives me crazy. right now she's been watching The Descendants.
Oh, yeah, right? Like the little movies.
1, 2, 3, 4, however many it is. Anyway, if you'll notice, there's a common theme in there where all these people stand around doing nothing. One person decides to do something, right? There's this bully. And so when the person stands up to do something, the bully thinks that they can take down that one person who's standing up. But then all of a sudden, when everybody crowds around the bully, now the bully has to give up because he can't beat up all 15 of them, right?
Yeah.
As a group, we can do something about it, right?
But and most, they can sing about it, the Descendants. Yeah, just kidding.
But for those of you listening, as a group, we can do something about it. But somebody's got to go first.
Yes, absolutely.
And if somebody will go first, other people will follow.
Yeah. Right?
Other people will follow. I would push you, as you're listening right now, that everybody in a situation is experiencing this somewhere. You're experiencing gossip at work at the very minimum part of bullying, you experience some gossip at work. Don't participate in it and call it out. It's going to feel awkward. You might get kind of shunned as a black sheep, but that's going to help other people step up and go, you know what, I'm not going to participate in this either.
Yeah, and someone might bring up, you used to do it too. It's like, well, actually, I'm changing though.
Yeah, you're right, I did, and I don't want to be that anymore because I don't want to be that kind of person, right? I mean, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the power is in the bystander, and we can do something about it, but somebody's actually got to go to first. So if you and I, and the folks listening, if just us listening to this podcast started to go first in our work situations, school situations, church situations, right? Because there's a lot of church bullying too.
Yep.
If we decide to go first, that's going to spur other people to stand up against those actions too. And that's how you get rid of bullying. So, been a cool series.
Yeah, I think it was necessary.
Yeah, I do too. This is my favorite one out of all of them.
I really like this series.
There's something about... I think the reason that this particular episode is my favorite is because I identify the most with it. You know, I've been bullied a little bit. I have bullied other people a little bit. I've not really been much of an outsider except for certain situations, not a lot, right? But the bystander part, I've done my fair share of standing around watching somebody be treated like crap and keeping my mouth shut, you know. Mm-hmm. I've been a bystander a lot. And so this one just helps me continue to know that it's not a suggestion from Jesus, it's a mandate from Jesus that we care for and stand up for the marginalized, even if that puts our own selves at risk, right? We put ourselves at risk, right? Because that's what Jesus does for us. So mm-hmm. anyway, we have no idea what we're doing next, by the way, on the podcast. So we got a new series to kick off, but we don't know what it is.
We haven't picked the one we want to talk about. No, like, we have all the ideas.
We got all kinds of ideas. One. I was looking at them earlier. We got all kinds of ideas. We just haven't chosen one. So,
we'll
figure it out.
We pray that, you know, as you listen through this series, that it, you know, it springs you into action. So, if you've observed someone being bullied or if you've even participated in it, like, make a change today. Like, be that person to make a change.
Be that person that does something. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how it's going to make a difference, but I'm going to do something.
Yeah, you know, God don't like ugly. You've heard it before.
He does not. That's a good way to end that.
Thank you. All right, we'll see y'all next time.
See you later.
With a new series. We don't know what it yet, so. Bye.
Teaser alert. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.